Welcome to another message from Systematic Theology. We're in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse number 1. And where we stand in time, in a timeline, is right here. Right here. At that period of time. We started all the way back here in eternity past, and we find out Satan was alive and well back then. God created him not as Satan, but as Hallel, the bearer of light. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. We find out that he got real active in the human race in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. We find out from the book of Job what all he can do to us. This world is Satan's workshop. This world is Satan's workshop. And we live in that. But one of these days, it's going to be all over. Now, I'm going to read this to you from the Greek, even though I won't read it, read the Greek and then read English translation. I might bring out a Greek word now and then. And I saw literally the angel. The definite article isn't there, but it's there. And I saw the angel having come down, or coming down out of the heaven, having a kleon tais abyssou, the key of the bottomless, no bottom is what it is, abyssone, abyss is bottom, but this is no bottom, it's a bottomless pit. And the chain was very great in the hand of him, and literally upon the hand of him. Verse number 2. Now here we have a tremendous angel, a very powerful angel, and he's coming down out of heaven. And for 7 years, the hellish activities of Satan's workshop have been concentrated on the earth, and he has his leaders, and he has destroyed nearly 5/6 of the world's population and 2/3 of the Jewish people on the earth. Verse number 2. And he laid hold of the draconta, the dragon. We're going to work dragon right out of this. The dragon is a leviathan of old. The dragon is a term that means powerful. When Moses went before Pharaoh with Aaron his brother as his spokesman, Aaron's rod was thrown down in the very presence of Pharaoh. Pharaoh means the man of the big house. Well, I'm going to tell you something's going to happen in that big house now. Aaron threw the rod down in the presence of Pharaoh, and it became a nahash. It was a mia. No, it didn't. It became a tanin. A dragon, a draconta. That's the term right there. That's the Greek term for tanin. That rod of Moses and Aaron turned into a dragon, a supernatural creature. Now, Satan has magical powers because he is supernatural. So he has magical powers, and according to the last part of the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, his man on this earth did great magical signs and wonders and powers, and they created. They made things. They made things live and walk and breathe. Now you might say, Satan can't create. Let's go on just a little bit further, people. I'm not trying to build Satan up. I'm showing you how bad he is and how deceitful he is. Jannes and Jambres, which the book of Jasher names, and the book of Jasher is right over there in that area in my library. The book of Jasher is a historical book, and it's quoted several times in the Bible. It doesn't say it's an inspired book. It says it is a historical book, and evidently the names Jannes and Jambres were right, because Paul said Jannes and Jambres in one of his letters. Now, Jannes and Jambres, the whole story is they threw down their rods, and what happened to those rods? They became dragons. Not snakes, not serpents, but dragons. Tonines, Dracona, dragons. Now, was Satan able to create out of the rods that they had? Was he able to create a dragon, a Leviathan? Yes, he was. He was able to create a dragon. Now, a Leviathan is a supernatural creature. It was told in Jewish legends that there was a Leviathan that hovered under the deep in the Sea of Galilee, a Knesset. And when the water stirred, it was that dragging, that Leviathan stirring up the waters, and that Leviathan was guarding the gates of hell. That's Jewish legend. Dragon. Satan is called a Leviathan. He's called a dragon. He's called a Tanin. This is one of his titles. And then it says here, we have a basically a understood comma. Ho Ophis. The serpent. Now he's called the serpent of old. The serpent of old is talking about Genesis, the third chapter. In Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 1, it says that the serpent had become more deceitful and evil and wicked. He had become. God didn't create him that way. God didn't create Hillel that way, Lucifer. He created him good. He created him beautiful. Read Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. He's beautiful. But his beauty corrupted him. He's called the serpent of old. That's the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam, you guard the garden. Guard it. Guard it from what? The serpent of old. The dragon. Okay, and we have two of his titles here. We have he's called a dragon, a Leviathan. He's called a serpent of old. And then it says, which he is and continues to be, Diabolos. Diabolos. Diabolos, it comes from dia and balo. Dia means through, it's preposition. And balo means the throne. Now, I have some old guns around here. I like old things because I'm old. I'm a contemporary with them. Some of these old guns have very large bullets in them, projectiles. 45-70, 458 diameter bullet. Now, if you take that bullet and just throw it at you, it'll bounce off. It might hurt. The ones I load in 45-70 or 300 grains, that's very light loads. They 400, 500, 600 grains, 700 grains. You put 70 grains of black powder, you put 13 grains of unique powder in that shell with a 300 grain bullet, and it's going to do some deadly damage. It will go through something and do a lot of damage. The word diabolos means to spear through or to impale, to destroy. Now that's another one of his titles. And he's used those titles in his workplace. And the Satan. Ho Satanas. Now the word Satan means to oppose. In Ezekiel 14 and Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, I got that a little bit backwards. Satan opposed God. And Satan got the name of opposer or Satan. He was Hillel. He was the Drakon of old, the dragon of old. He is the serpent of old. He is the devil, the destroyer. And he is the opposer. And he is bound. He bound him. For a kilia ete, for 1,000 years. Now, this is what we call the millennium. For 1,000 years, Satan, his workplace, is going to be down here in the bottomless pit. He's going to be out of sight, out of mind, and all of his forces with him. And Jesus Christ is going to rule from New Jerusalem above the earth, and probably his great-great-great-grandfather many times, David, will be on the throne on the earth. Epitaskes. El Haaretz. Upon the earth. This 1,000-year millennial reign is on the earth. It's real. And Satan is out of the way, and nobody will have to deal with him for 1,000 years. And he cast him, verse number 3, into the abyss, the no bottom. And he locked him down. And he set a seal upon him, in order that he might not he might lead astray any longer the nations. In the end times, Satan has great control over the nations. Great control. It's so it says the whole world wandered after his man. The whole world wandered after him. That he might not lead astray any longer the nations until it may be brought to completion. The 1,000 years. But after the 1,000 years, it is binding necessary to be loosed. You know, a little while, a little time. The golden age of 1,000 years when the earth is repopulated in the millennium. I know a lot of people try to spiritualize that. Well, you don't mess with your Bible. Believe it. The Bible says there will be 1,000-year reign on this earth, and the center of that reign is going to be Jerusalem, over there in the Middle East, you know. Right there in that little area called Canaan. Herod Palestine, called Israel. That's going to be the seat of God's throne on this earth. And it's going to last for 1,000 years. There's a lot of writings about this. You can go all the way back to the Epistle of Barnabas and the Didache. And you read about the 1,000-year reign. They believed it was a real 1,000-year reign. I know I do too. It'll take place upon this earth, but the world will be repopulated. Why do we have a 1,000-year reign of Christ? Why is this going to happen? Why? Why is Satan going to be locked up for 1,000 years? And why is Israel going to rule upon the earth for 1,000 years? You know, Donald, Sharon,
to bring Israel back.
To fulfill the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant. Mm-hmm. God made it, and those covenants are unconditional on God's part. They are unconditional, and God will fulfill them. Well, why is Satan locked away for 1,000 years so he won't interfere with that 1,000-year reign of Christ? There's not going to be any hellish activity on the earth at that time allowed. People will still be Adamic. People will still be born for this at this period of time. They will live. They will still have the volition to do right or wrong according to their own will. Angels, man, everything has will, volition. I know some people don't believe that either. That we're robots. We're not. For 1,000 years, Satan won't be present in any way upon this earth. But then it says he's going to be released for a little while. It's necessary for him to be released for a little while. And he will go out to deceive the nations. He's going to go out and deceive the nations. From Revelation 21:3, it tells us what happened to Satan. That his little workplace, that his little playhouse has been destroyed and taken away from him for a while. The golden age that takes place while he's locked up. One of the things is the Lord shall be king, Zechariah 14:9. There will be 1,000-year Bible school. There will be 1,000-year seminary taking place on this earth. Isaiah 11:9, Isaiah 2:3, Ephesians 2:7. There will be no more preparation for war in Isaiah 2:4. A great change shall take place in the animal kingdom also. We'll go back to the garden days, the time of the garden. Time before the flood, Genesis 2:19, Isaiah 11:6-8. The Lord shall judge in righteousness, Isaiah 11:4-5. There will be no more sickness, Isaiah 33:24. Israel will have her land. The Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant will be fulfilled. They will have their land. Vegetation shall grow as weeds grow today. These will be wonderful times, and yet there will be a greater time yet. Our Father, we send this message out. I pray, Father, that your people will accept it, that they will be glorify you in it, and that they'll give their lives for you. I pray if there's one lost out there that they want to seek you and seek your salvation that's so free in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, forgive me where I fail you, please, and let this message touch the world for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.